Good afternoon, and thank you for standing by. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Your lines have been placed on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer segment of today's conference call. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Tara Brice, Public Health Advisor. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our webinar. This presentation is for the TPP performance measures requirement for the TPP Tier 1B replication to large-scale grantees of evidence-based programs. And I'm Tara Rice with the Office of Adolescent Health. I'm also joined by Matt Benson from RTI International, who is the contractor for the TPP performance measures contract for OAH. Next slide. Just a few logistics. This is a net conference with both audio and visual. You will be in listen-only mode during the webinar. We will stop at the end of the webinar and take questions by phone. However, there is also a Q&A box on your top screen, and if you have questions during the webinar, you can type those in to the top screen in the Q&A box, and we will stop at a couple of points and take some of the questions that are typed into the Q&A box. Next slide. So today we'll be providing everyone with an overview of the TPP performance measures. We'll be discussing a timeline for data collection, in particular talking about those items of data that you might be collecting for this reporting period that's coming up, but also talking a little bit about data that you'd be collecting in future reporting periods. Matt will be showing you an online demonstration of the online reporting system, as well as the grantee spreadsheet that can help you track a lot of the data that you'll be entering into the reporting system. Next slide. For those of you who are at the Tier 1 orientation meeting, here are the five W's of performance measures. Performance measures are really important. They help us to accurately assess the progress and accomplishments of the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Grant Program. They are important because of accountability in our reporting to our stakeholders. They are also important for you as grantees to help you with program management as well as quality improvement. So in terms of who sees your performance measures data that you enter, OAH will see all of your data at the individual grantee level. Congress will see some of the measures. We report to our higher level stakeholders at an aggregated level. No grantees will be specifically identified. And we collect these measures twice a year. We'll be showing you the specific timeline in a next slide. So this slide shows some of the key definitions that we'll be referring to throughout this presentation. So do keep this in mind. These will also be posted on the TPP Performance Measures website for your future reference. And if you were at the Tier 1 orientation meeting, you saw these terms as well. So we talk about grantee organizations. And grantee organizations are you, for the most part, who are on this call today. Those organizations who were awarded the OAH grant and are responsible for ensuring the reporting of the performance measures. Many of you, particularly in Tier 1B, are also working with implementing organizations. So you may have sub-awardees or other partners who are actually implementing one or more program models as part of the project. Then we often talk about sections. So sections are the classes or groups of participants who receive the program together. So for example, if you have a classroom of, say, ninth grade health class and they're getting Making Proud Choices, that each individual ninth grade health class is a section. And the reporting period is the 6-month interval for which you will report the various measures. Next slide. So the performance measures are going to be collected at different levels. So at the grantee organization level, there's data that's collected about partnerships across the project, training across the project, dissemination across the project, and there are also some high-level cost measures that would be collected. Now, we're only going to be asking you to collect cost measures and report the cost measure to us once a year, and so that would be in the summer reporting, the annual reporting deadline in July. At the implementing organization level, so this is any organization that's actually implementing an evidence-based program, it could be you as a grantee organization, or it could be one of your other partners or sub-awardees. You're going to be collecting data at the section level about reach. This is both overall numbers served and also demographic characteristics. We'll be collecting dosage, which comes from your attendance records. You'll be reporting observed fidelity data, which comes from your independent observers, reviewing how the program is actually being implemented. Observed quality, which again comes from your observations and the quality form. You'll be reporting your healthcare linkages and also some cost data that specifically relates to the evidence-based program that is being implemented. Next slide. So I'm going to go over some of the definitions of these terms, and again, you can find these on the resources tab of the TPP Performance Measure System for your future reference. The partners are any organizations that are working with grantees but are not part of the grantee organization. So your partners are anyone who's helping you to implement your project. So they can be formal partners if you, the grantee, have a written agreement with them, or they could be informal partners who support your program through networking and coordinating activities, but for whom you do not have a formal written agreement with them. Okay, so when you think about your partners, you can think about anybody, of course, who's like an implementing organization who's helping you to actually implement an evidence-based program, as well as you can also think about anybody who's helping you with your community mobilization efforts or with your resources and linkages. So for each reporting period, we'll be asking you about the number of formal partners and informal partners. And at the end of the year, we'll also be asking you about how many partners in each category remain engaged. Next slide. A training measures look at the number of facilitators who were trained and the number who received follow-up training. So this includes training on the specific evidence-based program or programs that are going to be implemented. It also includes any type of other training on topics that could improve the facilitator's delivery of the evidence-based program. So we asked two questions about training. We asked about the number of new intervention facilitators that were trained, and we asked about intervention trainers who received any sort of supplemental or follow-up training for each reporting period. So we would anticipate that during this reporting period, many of you may have some training data to report, but some of you might not yet, and that's fine. Next slide, please. Dissemination really measures the number of manuscripts and presentations that were either published or presented during the reporting period. So we ask you about the number of times that specific manuscripts were accepted for publication within the year, and we also ask you about the number of times that various approaches to dissemination were used, such as brochures, press releases, radio or TV advertisements, or newspaper magazine articles. And we ask you very specifically to tell us the number of times that each approach was used rather than telling us how many brochures you printed. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Next slide, please. In addition, with dissemination, we ask about the number of times that information about your program was presented at conferences, and we ask about the scope of the conference. A national conference or event, you know, is something like the American Public Health Association conference that's attended by a national audience. a statewide conference or event is a conference that's happening at the state level with state-level stakeholders. A local meeting event is going to be restricted to, you know, individuals within a given community or other. Next slide, please. So with dissemination, you probably aren't going to have a lot of that to report this year, but as the project goes along, you'll probably have more to report as time goes on. So I'm going to talk a little bit about costs. Costs were a topic of great interest at the Tier 1 orientation meeting. The cost measures at the grantee level are going to look at administrative costs, including personnel costs, and personnel costs including salary, payroll taxes, benefits paid to organizations or other partners working on the project. We also ask about proportion of personnel costs for each organization. So we, you'll see this in a minute when we actually start showing you what the screens look like in the system, that we're asking for estimates for each year of what percentage went to general administration, what percentage of funds went to participant recruitment and retention, what percentage of funds went to training, what percentage went to service provision, what percentage went to fidelity monitoring, and what percentage went to evaluation. Now, we have definitions for all of our cost items on the TPP Performance Measures website on the Resources tab. So I do strongly encourage you to take a look at those documents on the website, and Matt will be showing you a little later exactly where to see those on the website. Next slide. We also are asking at the grantee level related to cost for an estimate of the amount of funding outside of the grant that is received to assist with ongoing and future program activities. And this includes things such as fundraising or cash, other grants that your agency has received, other internal agency funding that's coming from your agency itself, and then other in-kind contributions. And we have definitions for these on the website. Next slide. Now, we also are going to be talking about section data. And, you know, as I mentioned at the Tier 1 orientation meeting back in November, for those of you who attended, we are changing, for those of you who were grantees in the first cohort, how we collect data. Instead of asking for individual level data for everything, we're now going to ask for reach and dosage and et cetera data at the section level. And recall that a section is a group of participants who received the program at the same time. So at the section level, we're going to be asking you to report to us about total reach. And that's the number of individuals in the section who attended at least one activity. We're also going to be asking about reach by characteristics. Now, we have a complete list of the characteristics on the TPP Performance Measures website, and you'll also see how you report these when Matt shows you what the reporting system looks like a little later. We're going to be asking you about the number of individuals by setting. So settings include things such as, is this an in-school program that's delivered in classrooms, or is it an out-of-school or community-based program? There are several different settings that you would report based on where that section is taking place. We also ask about gender, all right, aggregated for each section. We ask about race and ethnicity aggregated by the section. We ask about age, and we ask about grade. Next slide. Now, you'll also be reporting to us dosage data for each section. Dosage provides an indication of how much of the program a participant received, and it is tracked through attendance. So recall that, you know, each of you should be creating some type of attendance log for your programs. And so basically from the attendance logs, we're going to show you how you can get average participant attendance as well as the percentage completing 75% or more sessions. At the end of this webinar, Matt will be going over the grantee spreadsheet tool that, you know, can help you to track these things from your attendance. Next slide, please. Another component that's collected at the section level would be the fidelity and the quality. So one of your grantee expectations is to develop a fidelity monitoring plan, and your fidelity monitoring plan includes having fidelity logs to look at how your sessions are being implemented. It also includes an expectation that you'll be observing at least 10% of all the sessions that are being offered, and that the observation will be done by someone who ideally independent. And we define that, you know, in terms of practical terms as being, you know, somebody who could be an evaluator or a member of your evaluation team, or they could be somebody who's a supervisor. We just want to make sure that you're not asking one facilitator to observe another facilitator. And so we talk about adherence to the number of planned sessions. Okay, so that's our measure for fidelity. And what that means is for every session or meeting of your program model, you will be tracking the number of activities that you're planning to have implemented in that meeting. And then your observer will track how many of those planned activities were actually completed. So adherence ends up being a percentage. Number of completed activities over the total number of planned activities for each session. We also ask you to track the total number of sessions that you're going to be implemented. And the number of sessions is going to be dependent upon what your program model is, as well as the setting in which you are implementing that program model. So, for example, if you're doing Making Proud Choices in an after-school setting, and you're meeting once a week for an hour for 8 meetings, you would be planning 8 sessions. And the number of activities for each session would be based on how many of those modules you're doing. So activities include things such as videos, role plays, etc. So as you are determining what your fidelity monitoring plan is going to look like and implementing it, you'll also want to make sure that you're tracking the number of sessions and how you're going to be adhering to your planned and implemented activities. Observed adherence to the program-specified activities will be averaged across sessions. And so towards the end of this webinar, Matt will show you how you can use the grantee spreadsheet tool if you choose to use that tool to average your observations if you're doing multiple observations for a given section. And finally, observed quality of implementation will also be averaged across the different sessions. And again, observed quality is going to come from the quality, the observation quality form. For those of you who attended the OAH Tier 1 orientation and or those of you who worked on TPP grants during the first cohort, that's the observation form that has the 0 to 5 scale of several different questions that looks at, you know, how well the program is being implemented. So you'll see these questions again on the list that's on the resource tab of the TPP Performance Measures website. We've also going to show you how this looks in the system a little later in the webinar. Next slide, please. All right, healthcare linkages are also something that we're asking grantees to track at the level of the section or implementing partner. So healthcare linkages are the number of referrals made by your program staff, whether it's at your implementing organization. And again, recall that you, the grantee, can be an implementing organization if you are implementing programs, evidence-based programs. So we have different categories that we're asking for numbers of referrals made during each reporting period. And so this can include referrals to reproductive health care, mental health care services, primary health care services, educational services, vocational education services, intimate partner violence prevention services, or healthy relationships trainings. Next slide. Okay, and so as I mentioned before, there are also cost measures at the level of the implementing organization. And so the costs that happen at the implementation organization level really look at any costs that are incurred for implementing core or supplementary program services as part of the routine implementation of the program. So this can include the amount of payments in terms of a dollar amount that's actually made to your program developer or distributor. It can also include which can, within that, include materials, supports, and other services. So we're looking at curriculum materials costs, licensing fees, training or technical assistance that relates directly to implementing the evidence-based program, as well as any other ancillary professional development related to implementation. Fidelity monitoring or quality improvement services and evaluation services. And again, please refer to the more detailed user guide and definitions that are on the TPP Performance Measures website for more information about what counts in each of these different categories. Next slide. There are also other direct costs to support program implementation that would be collected at this implementing organization level. This can include any other program materials or supplies that are obtained from an outside provider. This can include training or technical assistance that comes from an outside provider. That can be related to the curriculum itself or also any professional development related to implementation. This is also a category where you would be reporting any monetary incentives for a program enrollment or participation, as well as any non-monetary incentives given to participants for a program enrollment or participation. You would also include here an estimate of any costs incurred related to program supports, such as meals or transportation, program recruitment materials, and any media campaigns. Next slide. All right, so just some basics on the actual data reporting information. So OEH is contracted with RTI International, who has developed and maintained a performance measure system for the teen pregnancy prevention program. OEH also helps us with RTI helps OEH with providing technical assistance to grantees for the performance measure system reporting. The target date for website readiness for data entry will be Monday, January 18th. Next slide. Okay. So also some general expectations for grantees. We ask that all grantees designate a specific staff person to collect and report the performance measures data to us. That can be someone who's in staff. It could be your evaluator, but it could be more than one person. It could also be some people who are from your partner agencies if you have multiple implementation partners. So however it works best for you, it's important that you make sure that you have somebody or more than one person to collect and report the data and that it's clear who's going to be doing that. We also have laid out expectation that grantees would ensure that the data are collected and reported to us via the web-based performance measure system in adherence with the stated deadlines. So again, twice a year. there are no reporting deadlines for that, and it aligns with when your biannual progress reports are due. This time around, we are asking all grantees to collect and report their data to us, beginning with the program pilot. So I know that there are a few of you on this call today who were approved and did some pilots during the fall. There are also a few of you who began full implementation of one or more of your program models during this reporting period, this first reporting period, which was July through December of 2015. So in that instance, we will be expecting some data from you on your sections during this first deadline that's coming up. And we do expect that grantees are going to be using performance measures data to monitor program implementation and provide feedback to facilitators and implementers of your program. Next slide. Okay, so in terms of reporting the data, as I alluded to before, some of the data is high level and specifically would need to come from the grantee organization. Other data related to individual sections that are being implemented could be reported by implementing organizations if that's what is going to work best for you. We'll show you a little later on how you can register your implementing organizations and how they can get access to the data, to the section of the website that they need to enter the section data that they would need to enter. Attendance data at the individual level needs to be maintained, but what you will report to us is attendance at the aggregate level and specifically aggregated at the level of the section of the program. Next slide. Okay. The reporting periods, so every year the reporting periods are going to start, the first reporting period for a year is going to start July 1st and it's going to run through December 31st. The data would be due 30 days after the end of the reporting period. Now, because January 30th is a Saturday and January 31st is a Sunday, I believe, we're saying February 1st for this is when this data is actually going to be due because that is the Monday. But just keep in mind that what your notice of award says is the data is due 30 days after the reporting period ends. Reporting period 2 starts January 1st. And it runs through June 30th. So the data there are going to be due July 31st, but really it's August 1st because, again, July 31st falls over the weekend. Next slide. Okay. So we're going to switch gears in a minute or two, and I'm going to turn this call over to Matt for the website review. But I do want to use this opportunity to look at some of the questions that have come through on the Q&A box to see what people's questions are so far. All right. Courtney has asked, what about articles that mention the project but are not written by a staff person? So the answer to that, if that's relating to dissemination, would be I would use your discretion about that. What we want to absolutely track with the dissemination questions are any items, articles, newsletters, briefs, et cetera, that the grantee organization is creating about the project. If you can also track other articles that are coming up about the project that aren't being written by you, then yes, you can report that, but that's not specifically what our priority is, but yes, you can still collect that. Okay, Gabe's question is fidelity observation 10% or 5%? Okay, and so for this tier, for tier 1B, it's 5%. So my apologies if I said 10%. For other tiers, it's 10%. But for tier 1B, because your projects are so large the fidelity observation is actually 5% of all of your sessions. And another question is, would it be possible to have a cost spreadsheet template, like the section spreadsheet template, to provide our implementation partners? And yes, that's a possibility that we are working on, and we will definitely be providing additional technical assistance on cost measures in the near future. Okay, so again, several people are asking about the 5%, and let me just correct, yes, the observations for Tier 1B are 5%, and I apologize for saying 10%. Okay, next question. Julie asked, we often provide information regarding local resources that are in the healthcare linkages category to an entire class. Would this count as referrals? Okay, so I'm going to say with referrals, to think very specifically about, you know, how you as an organization define referrals. I tend to define a referral as, you know, you're actually doing something actively to connect a person with a resource. There are many different ways that you can link young people to resources. I would tend to say that if you're just providing them with a list of resources, that that's not really a referral, that a referral is, you have, you know, is more about you have a participant and they talk to you about, you know, a healthcare issue and you say, and you realize that they don't have a primary care provider. And for example, you say, well, here is a, you know, primary care provider that can stay, you know, that specializes in adolescent health. So I would say if you're just providing a list of resources, that that's probably not a referral. But again, we can talk more about that further if you need additional clarification. And so the question about facilitators would be allowed to observe as long as they were not facilitating the class that they were observing. I'm going to still say that facilitators observing other facilitators is not ideal or the preferred way to do things. So ideally, you would like to have somebody who's not on the same level as the other person doing the observation. If you absolutely have to have a facilitator, and I would encourage you to try to look at supervisors or other people who are not at the same tier level doing the observations. So that would still be my recommendation about that. Okay, so clarifying that you will not be reporting any data to the performance measures at the individual level. That's Emily's question. So data is only reported at the section level or the organizational level. That is correct, Emily. We are no longer asking grantees to report individual level data to us. Now, as you'll see when we start showing the recommended grantee spreadsheet, that in order to get some of this data, you know, of course, your facilitators or program implementers, of course, are going to need to have some individual records that they keep. But what we are actually asking grantees to report to us in the performance measure system is going to be section level and organization level data. Okay, and then Lori asks, how will we record data on participants of one-on-one interventions? Excellent question. All right, so for example, many of our clinic-based interventions are one-on-one interventions, and I think there might be one or two other of our newer program models as well that are individual level, one-on-one. In the past, with the last cohort, our grantees who did one-on-one interventions found it easiest to consider each individual participant to be a section. Now, you know, that might be an option that you'd want to consider here, but you also might want to consider that perhaps, let's say you're doing a clinic-based program. So maybe every clinic that is implementing, that is participating, maybe you decide that each clinic is a section. In which case, you know, let's say you had 10 clinics that were implementing that particular evidence-based program. You know, maybe what you do is you consider, you know, each of those clinics to be a section. So that's a possibility that you could consider. And I don't know what your particular situation would be around facilitators or implementers, but a third possibility would be that if you had, you know, four clinicians, nurses, who were serving as the facilitators for that one-on-one intervention, that maybe everybody who gets the program from that one, from each individual nurse or clinician during that reporting period is considered a section. So I think there's a few ways you can handle it. So what I would encourage you to do is to consider those three possibilities and decide which one would be optimal. Because if you are talking about a lot of participants, maybe you don't want to be having each one of those participants be an individual section. Okay, so Keisha asked, we are implementing at several locations. Is each site considered a section? So I'm going to say that depends probably on what your program model is. If you're implementing at several locations and you only have one cohort or group of young people who are in the program per site, then yes, each site would be considered a section. So if you were implementing, you know, let's say at community centers, and, you know, let's say you were doing a program like Making a Difference, you've got community center A that has one Making a Difference going on. You have community center B that has one Making a Difference going on at that site. Then yes, in that instance, each site would be considered a section. However, if you have multiple different groups going at each of your sites at the same time during a reporting period, then you're going to need to probably need to consider each one of those individual groups that is taught by a given facilitator as a section. So the answer to your question is going to be maybe. It's going to depend on, you know, what program model and how you're actually implementing it. Okay. Kim asked if an FAQ will be developed and posted, and the answer is yes. So we are recording this webinar, and we are also generating a transcript, and so yes, we will be collecting some of the frequently asked questions and posting them in the future so that you can have a record of these responses. Okay. All right. In terms of recommendations or practices for tracking linkages to services, I think I'm going to answer this one. I think I'm going to hold this one for after the call. One of the recommendations that I would have is you can think about like a spreadsheet tool for each of your facilitators with each of those categories on them listed so that then each facilitator, for example, could track any referrals. If you start talking about other partners and other agencies beyond just the people who are the facilitators, we might have to think a little more thoroughly about how you would be tracking all of that. Okay, so I'm just going to take one more question for now, and then in the interest of time, move to the website demonstration. But we will certainly come back, and at the end, we will have an opportunity for you to ask questions through the phone line. So we will come back to those questions that I haven't gotten to now. Okay, so Sarah's question is about peer observations. So again, I'm going to say that, you know, peer observations are not optimal. If you absolutely have to do it, facilitators observing, as long as they weren't teaching that class, I wouldn't say it's absolutely forbidden, but it's not the preferred way to do it. So that would be my answer to your question, Sarah. All right. So I'm going to stop here, and I'm going to turn a call over to Matt for the website review, and we will come back to additional questions. All right. Thank you, Matt.
Okay, great. Thank you, Tara. So hi, everyone. Again, I'm Matt Benson from RTI International, and let's have a look at the website. So I'm here on the homepage, and Tara talked about resources available to you. So let's go ahead and look at the resources tab here. So if we click on that, we have several things posted. So one of them is the grantee performance measures, where it's just a document which basically tells you what we'll ask you to report on. So if you want one-stop shopping for that, just look and you'll find information helpful to you there. Also, regarding costs, Tara had said that you'll report on those once a year, and in this case, it'll be during the summer. So we don't have the costs visible to be reported on the website now, but if you want to see precisely what they are, this resource is where to go to have a look at them. And then he just carries on. It shows all the things we ask about: dosage fidelity, cost at the implementer level. So that should be helpful to you. All right, the grantee spreadsheet we'll look in a little bit. Observation form perhaps a little later. Some general performance measures definitions. If you're not sure of something, again, just click on the link. It'll open up, and then we've got some definitions that we think will be helpful to you. All right. Also, some cost measures definitions. So we think that can help you. And then also there's a cost measures user guide. So those are all things that we hope will be of assistance to you. Okay. So it's logged me out here because I've been in there, I think, for... Okay, so I'm back in. So on the homepage, there's to the left, there's some kind of some overview information about the purpose of the grant, overview of the performance measures of the reporting system. Also, on the homepage, from time to time, you might want to ask us a question about providing your data. And so contact us here. We've got a link to an address that'll take you to the help desk. So just go ahead and click on that. They'll generate an email for you. Just put in the appropriate subject and, you know, what you're interested in getting help on. Please put your organization name. It also helps if you can put the grantee number as well. So that's something useful. Okay. So let's go ahead now and get deeper into the website. So as Tara said, there's data that just the grantees report at the grantee level. And then there's data that either you can charge to an implementing organization or organizations, or you can supply that data yourselves. So the grantee can see everything in both areas, and members of any implementing organizations you have will just see data that's relevant to themselves. Let's take a look at the grantee page. All right, so first thing, just note there's several tabs. We'll take a look at them, so you'll just kind of go left to right, perhaps, providing the data. Some other things, I just happen to create, we're on the development site, so this isn't production right now. I just created an account for myself and just said I was from this organization. Always the grantee who I'm logged in under, you'll always see self as IO next to the name. That's fine, not a problem. On this page, you'll see there's italicized eyes. They're just designed to provide you some information that might be of help as you go filling things out. So that's there. You'll also notice on each data entry page, there's a save button. Really important, of course, before you leave a particular page to hit save to make sure all your data gets in. So looking specifically at this page, we know which project officers are associated with which grantees, so that's going to populate for you. We ask you to give us someone to contact at your organization, and we'd like that person to be someone who, if we have questions about the data, they'd be the person to go to ask. So I just pre-populated that in there. Now, for your organization, you will indicate what states you're serving in implementing programs in. So it's just simple. You just, you know, check. If you make a mistake, you just uncheck it. Very simple to do. So let's just say for, let's say our make-believe organization is implementing in both Alabama, we'll say, it's not too geographically together. We'll just say anyway, Alabama and Arkansas. For settings, these things work, they're scroll bars, you just scroll down and you see the various choices. So we'll say we're implementing in traditional high school and school and middle school. And urbanicities, we'll say we're doing in both urban and suburban. At any time, you can click the Save button to save the data. I'll just go ahead and do that. You get that nice message that data is saved. So now when it comes to programs, of course, you need to indicate what programs are being you're implementing. So you go ahead and to do that, you just go ahead and add a program, click on that. And then there's over here, there's a list of the possible programs you might be implementing. So let's just say we chose Making a Difference. If you had made a mistake, just click on little X and it's gone. But we'll go back to it. We're going to say we're going to be implementing, we'll say Making a Difference. And ideal number of sessions. So you would just put how many sessions you think it's going to take to implement the program. So let's say I put a 10 in there. So states, you had said that you're implementing in Alabama and Arkansas. So for this program, if it's both, put both. If it's just Alabama, put Alabama. Put that. I want to say we're going to do it in both. For settings, those got brought over from your earlier selections. Let's say we're doing it in both, and let's say we just happen to do it in these urbanicities as well. We go ahead and click Save, and now we see we have a program model added. If you made a mistake, you wanted to get back in there, this really is the icon that you'll see throughout the website for making edits. You just go ahead and click on it, make any alterations that you want, and hit Save again. I don't need to make any alterations, so I'll just hit Cancel. This, of course, is the Delete button. Okay. Let's go ahead and real quick just pick one more program. Just assume we're doing one more. Let's say that was 8 is the number of sessions. Let's say just in Alabama, just in school, just urban. All right. So we've got a couple of them there. All right. So that's it for that page. I can just kind of click Save again before I leave it altogether. Now we go to the Implementing Organizations page. So here you would indicate if you did have implementing organizations, you would tell us who they are. So you can go ahead, add an organization. Let's just say we're doing ABC Implementers. Let's say, just put a name in there. I'm just putting anything in there. So contact phone. They're automatically set to an active status. If sometime later on the implementing organization is no longer active, you'd click no, but the default is with yes. So here, you earlier said you'd be implementing these two programs. So for this organization, you would indicate which they are implementing. So let's just say they're doing both, but let's just say they're doing it this organization in Alabama, and let's say they're doing it just in high school and in both of these urbanicities. So we just save that. Okay, and now we have an implementing organization. Again, if there's something that we don't like about what we entered, we just go in here, make any changes, and you're good there. Now, this is delete. I think I said this earlier. View access accounts. So many of you already registered online on the website. So grantees go directly to the website to register. Members of the implementing organization teams, you should have them, you should get them access in a different way. So here's how you do that. You click on View Access Accounts. Right now there's none. So essentially you're requesting access to the site for members of the implementing organization. So let's say we're and so we hit save. And as you can see, the system creates a username for that person and goes ahead and sends a welcome email out to that person, giving them some instructions to access the site. Just like in the past, at some point in time, you can make them inactive by clicking on no. So in any event, the email goes out, then they can gain access to the site. You keep creating as many accounts as you need. Important to tell your implementing people, important for you to request access in this way, because this will make sure the system will only allow them to see the part that's relevant to them, the implementing organizations. If you just tell them, oh, go to the website and register, and you give them your grant number, then it's possible they'll be able to see stuff at your level that perhaps you don't want them to see. So make sure to request accounts here for the implementing organization team members. All right, let's go on to partners. So something filled out at the grantee level. Won't go into all the details. Tara covered it a little bit before, and you've got documents to get there. But basically, how to provide this type of information is, you know, you just put an entry into the text box that's appropriate. I'll stop here for 1 minute. This is the first time that we see the reporting period. So some of you may say, why does it say reporting period two? It says that because we're in report period two now. That started on January 1st. However, for those of you that have been piloting that might be reporting this data, you just want to make sure you switch it so it's to reporting period one. And then you just go ahead, let's say it was putting some numbers arbitrarily in there. Let's say that's what you had. I'll just leave this one out for a minute, and then you would just, you know, just hit save. And in this case, because we left something out that's an asterisk, which is considered required, you get a message to go ahead and provide an answer for that. So let's say we do, and that takes care of that. Training first. So training, similar thing, same mechanism. Won't go into the details of what each of these means. You just provide the numbers as appropriate, hit save. You're good. Dissemination. So here, if you have any manuscripts accepted for publication during the reporting period, you could go ahead and you could add a manuscript. So you would just fill in the appropriate fields, hit save, and then the manuscript would appear, and however many you have, that'd be the number that would show. Ways that you communicate information and raise awareness about the TPP-funded program. Here are the categories. Tara read, so you would just supply that information here. Again, if it's like brochure, newsletter, e-newsletter, if you created one distinct ones of those and had it printed 2,000 times, you wouldn't put 2,000 in here. You'd put one because it was one distinct type of these. Citations. So I think this might address a question that was earlier. If your work was cited somewhere else, you could add a citation. And again, supply the information, and that would appear there. And we've got other categories. You can see those aren't required because you may not have, we just didn't require that. But anyway, you'd put the number and just put an explanation in there. The conferences, same thing. You would just go ahead and supply the information there, and there you go with that. So let's go ahead now and take a look at data that your implementing organizations might provide. So first thing I'll say is that we went ahead and we created one implementing organization. The grantee is always listed there too, because you might be someone who might be implementing yourself. Here's the one that we had. So let's say that's the case where you as the grantee were implementing a program, and then ABC Implementers is implementing a program. If you wanted to see kind of the view through the particular lens of the particular implementer, you just choose the particular one you want to see, and it sort of carries through to the rest of the tabs. So let's just stick with the ABC Implementers here. It's got some basic information, and we move over to the Program Models tab. So it shows the programs that are being implemented, and so if we want to get to the section information, let's say we'll just focus on All for You, we click on View Sections. So we haven't created any sections at this point, so here's where you would create it. So Tara gave us the example, I think, earlier, if I remember correctly, let's say it was ninth grade, ninth grade health class. You'd go ahead and add that. If you had made any kind of mistake, again, edit it. You'd edit, then you'd save it, and you'd be back in business. And so let's say we were doing, eighth grade health class was another, same type of mistake as well. Click on that, and that's there. So now, as said, the data pertaining to observations and attendance gets provided at the section level. So for the section, I'm going to go ahead and click View Section Details. All right, so it shows up. It's got the program, the right section, all of that carries over. If there had been more than one choices of setting indicated, you'd want to indicate what the predominant setting was for that particular section. So just make sure these are all right. I'm going to go ahead and say pretend we are sort of a piloting one, and so you're doing it for report period one. So let's just look briefly at the categories here. So we've got at the overall level, we've got the total reach, average participant attendance, youth completing 75% or more of sessions, sessions planned, so that ideal number of sessions way back in the beginning that we indicated to implement the program, and the number of sessions completed. Let's stick with kind of like attendance-related stuff. We'll cruise over here for a minute. So then you're going to provide reach by the gender categories. You're going to provide reach by the racial categories crossed with ethnicity categories, reach by age, reach by grade. And then if we go back and we're thinking now about observations, so for purposes of fidelity, so how many activities completed out of activities planned, how many sessions did you observe, what was the average observed adherence, we'll get into all this a little bit more in a second, observed quality, how many sessions were observed for quality, and what were the ratings for those sections. Okay, so we think that this spreadsheet, which is optional, you don't have to use it. We think it'll really help you if you do use it, but it's up to you whether to use it, and again, that's on the resources page. You can gain access to the spreadsheet. So there's several tabs of the spreadsheet that you can see. Big point is one spreadsheet per section. This isn't a place to just put all of the data for all your sections in. It's by section because, remember, you report at the section level, so having it at the section level is going to help you. Let's take a look at attendance. Even though you don't have to report attendance at the individual level, so if you use this spreadsheet, we're not going to be asking for it. It's just for your own records. I've got it set up where these are just, some sample participants. If you use the spreadsheets, of course, you'd clear this data out. But you can see some features of the spreadsheet are, so for gender, you just click on a cell, and then you can see the choices are there for you. So you just pick from the pick list. The same thing applies for race and ethnicity, and same for age and grade. And then we'll skip over to here for a minute. So these are supposed to be the sessions that take place. So if you like, you can put in the session name, or if you just do them numerically, you can do it that way. If I only have 5 shown here, but of course you might have 10 or whatever the number is, you would just, if you had a 6 one, for example, you would just, just continue here and make it session 6 and so on and so forth, as far across to the right as you like. And for attendance, one of the instructions is that indicate a 1 if the person attended and 0 if they didn't, and then you're sort of forced to just make those choices too. They're here. And so let's look at the gray area. You'll find the gray areas on several of these tabs, and these are just places where we've got sort of formulas in there to do the work for you and calculating. So I can't click into any of the cells in the formulas. Obviously, we're trying to protect the formulas. So You can see we had 4 out of 5 attendance here for this participant at 80%. Same here, same here, same here. The spreadsheet really does work. So if I went ahead, just made this one a 0, it drops to 80%, then it drops to 60%. So that's useful. We'll come back to the spreadsheet in a minute, this one. Let's look at observations quickly. Now, with your group needing to just do 5% observations, it's possible you may just have one observation for a particular section, and that's absolutely fine. I'm just showing 2, for example, here. We've got the observation date, session name, if you want to put it, session number. Then all these categories deal with, all the way up through here, deal with the quality measures for observations. And then the same thing here, you're going to choose from 1 through 5 for each of those, with 1 representing poor and 5 representing excellent. Then we get to the fidelity over here, where activities planned is 10 in this case, 8 here, activities completed was 9, so we have the fidelity at 90%, here fidelity at 87.5%. Now, this gets to overall selected calculated measures tab, so this has some of the things calculated for you that can really help you. So it's got the total reach calculated, so if we look back to our spreadsheet really quickly, we've got total reach, that's there in the spreadsheet for you. Average participant attendance, youth completing 75% or more of sessions, all that is right there for you. It's got the averages for the quality measures for observations there for you, the average adherence here for you. Now, of course, if you just have happen to have one observation, you don't need to go to the calculated part. It's right there in front of you. But anyway, I think that'll be helpful for you. So it'll really help you fill in a lot of this data entry page. Then you might be thinking, well, but how am I? It's kind of tame to report, by race and ethnicity and gender, and how can I do all of that? Well, we tried to set it up. So another feature here is we've got these filters on the columns. So let's say by gender, you were interested in knowing, you click on the filter about the number of females. You click on female, hit OK, and it just shows you the number of females, so you know it's 2. Let's say your spreadsheet had a lot of rows on it, so you can't just easily eyeball it. Of course, you could still figure it out. Alternatively, it just shows you the 2 here, which can give you the information too. To get added a filter, you just go back and click on it, clear filter, and you're back to the original state. So the same thing works. So race ethnicity, let's say you wanted to know, so clear out of all of them, Asian, Hispanic, Latino, go ahead and click there. Ah, there's one of them. Okay, there's one of them. So Asian, Hispanic, Latino, losing my tracker, Asian, Hispanic, Latino, I'd know to put a 1 there. So that's how the spreadsheet is intended to help you as a tool should you want to use it. And for assistance, you saw on the home page, this is the same exact address to get to us, just showing it again here. Just some general guidance. So implementing organizations would consult you as the grantees for questions about program implementation. You really wouldn't be candidate for proxy measures, but of course you had questions about implementing your program, you might ask your project officers for help there. Our place here at this address is to help you get the data into the system, answer questions about doing that. Please be on the lookout from us for some communications coming in the near term about office hours. That's just going to be, we're going to just provide some timing and some contact information for you to be able to reach out to us to ask questions about getting your data into the system. So that's all I have, Tara.
Thank you, Matt. I'm going to look at the questions and see what other questions people have had on the Q&A line before we open up the phone lines to general questions. Beth asked about one-on-one sections also applying to sites implementing 17 days. Yes, so 17 days is also an intervention that's a one-shot clinic-based intervention. So you could consider counting the partner site in that instance as a section if you didn't want to be creating a section for each of your individual participants for that program model. Okay, observation of individually administered programs like 17 days. So that's an interesting question. I think I'm going to think about that one and maybe follow up with you on a response for that about the individually administered programs like 17 days, because it would be more about the process of getting the client to view 17 days. It is a video intervention, so we'll follow up with you for some more specific guidance about that one very, very shortly, because we only had one grantee in the last cohort that implemented 17 days. And I'm not sure what they did for observations. So we'll follow up with you after the call. Okay, one-on-one interventions in the clinic, 5% of the encounters with patients, the answer would be yes. Okay, another question is about, Jenny's question is about uploading. Is it acceptable to collect pre- and post-assessments from participants? So you would not have to collect pre- and post-assessments from participants as part of the OEH performance measures. I'm not sure if that's a question related to plans for actual evaluation. So I'm not really sure how to answer that, because you do not need to collect pre- and post-assessments to report performance measures for us. Okay. Emily's question about pilot testing data. Does this mean only recent dosage, or do we also need to report on fidelity and quality? Okay. So, yes, you should also be reporting on fidelity and quality, because one of the things that your pilot should do ideally is test out some of your fidelity monitoring tools, including observation forms, et cetera, because you want to make sure that your fidelity monitoring plan actually works on a small scale before you scale it up to the full implementation. And for many of you in Tier 1B, you're going to be in a lot of sites with a lot of programs and sessions. So I do strongly recommend that you collect some observation data, quality data, et cetera, during the pilot. If you're doing any healthcare linkages during the pilot, then report that to us during the pilot, but you might not be, in which case you wouldn't have anything to report to us about healthcare linkages. All right, so for observations, would facilitators from other counties, if implementing across the state, be considered peers or independent? What are the requirements for independence of observers, and will there be training on observation measures, such as POISE report, et cetera? Okay, so this is kind of a threefold question. Facilitators from other counties could be considered independent. They wouldn't really have a stake in what was going on in that given county. What are the requirements for independence of observers? So, again, I would refer you back to the OEH fidelity monitoring guidance. Ideally, an observer, you know, the gold standard of independence would be somebody who's not in your organization, who's not in the implementing organization as the observer, but, you know, that's very difficult to do from a practical standpoint. So, you know, realistically, it could also be someone who is the supervisor. It could also be somebody who is in the organization but in a different department. The key thing is that, you know, ideally we want to make sure that, you know, you don't have two people who both work for the same agency who are at the same level and are doing all of each other's observations. We also ask that beyond just independence, that you pick people who are going to be able to give good feedback two facilitators, because this isn't just about doing an observation to check a box. It's also about making sure that you're identifying potential issues and providing technical assistance to your facilitators based on that information in a timely manner. The third part of Ashley's question is about training on observation measures. So a lot of that poise, rapport, et cetera, is going to be dependent on what your individual program model is. So some of your program model training might get into some of these related issues to poise and rapport, et cetera. In terms of whether OAH trains on that, no, we do not specifically train on that, but you could also consider as part of your professional development plan to look for trainings on classroom management and other issues that might touch upon some of these topics. Okay. Melanie asked, if the evaluator has several grantees, do we contact technical support to gain access for all of the grantees, and will we need a separate login for each grantee as we have in the past? So, Matt, I think that's a question for you about access to the system for evaluators.
Yes. So separate credentials for each grantee connection.
Okay. Thank you. Kim asked about training, new and supplemental. How are you counting facilitators one time, regardless of the number of trainings that they participate in? Okay, so the question, there's two questions. One's about the actual facilitators and the new facilitators that are trained, and then the other one is about follow-up training. So it's not about only counting facilitators once. It's very possible that you could have new facilitators who were trained as a new facilitator at the beginning of the reporting period, and then you could have those same facilitators getting some sort of follow-up or supplemental training at the end of the reporting period, in which case you would count that facilitator twice, once in the new and then once in the supplemental. So we're not really asking for an unduplicated count of the facilitators trained. We're just trying to get a sense of, for each reporting period, how many new facilitators did you train and how many facilitators received any additional or supplemental training. Okay, next question from Brett. Will there be a bulk upload option, Matt?
We don't have any plans to do that presently.
Okay. And Nicole asked, will you please clarify how to calculate average observed adherence? Okay, and so that was actually part of the spreadsheet. Matt, if you could go back to that.
So average observed adherence. Okay, so here are your observations. And so I think many of you may just have one observation per section. So in that case, you really wouldn't have an average. You would just report just the actual fidelity reading for that. So if there was just one row of data here and it was 90%, then you would just go ahead and in the here average observed adherence, you would just put 90% in there. So in this case where there's two, we've got a calculated measures for you there, and the average adherence is here at 88.8%, and you'd put that in.
Great. Thank you, Matt.
Sure.
So Jill has a question. Are we only reporting completed sections during the given reporting period? For example, we might not do every lesson of a curriculum for piloting, so do we still report data on those sections? So for your pilot, you know, you should report data on your, we do want data on your pilot, and we do realize that some of you, particularly those of you who are going to be implementing year-long programs, that you might not do a full pilot of your intervention, but you should still report to us any data for any sections that you do during your pilot, even if those are truncated or condensed versions of the evidence-based intervention that you're piloting. Okay. Next question from Kate. How should we track observations if there are a different number of activities on different observation days? For example, some days only one activity is observed, and on other days more than one activity is observed. Okay. So the answer to that is going to be that you should make sure that when you're doing a given observation that you know what the number of planned activities for that day is going to be, and that's going to be the denominator for that given day. And then you would just track how many were completed. So in this instance, you know, on different observation days, there would be different denominators because one day there might be one activity that's planned. So in that day, there would just be the denominator would be one, and either the facilitator did that one activity or they did not. And then on a different day, let's say there were three activities, the planned activities for that day would be three for your denominator, and then your numerator would track how many of those three the facilitator actually implemented. Okay. Next question from Ashley. Do we need to report observer reliability? The answer is no. It is probably it is a good idea if you have some sort of plan to look at observer reliability, particularly in the beginning. That's probably best practices to make sure that your observers, you know, are clear on what their role is. But in terms of whether you have to report it to us, the answer is no. You do not. Okay. So next question from Julie. What if a section spans two reporting periods? Matt, can you take that? I have some ideas, but I just want to, since you're actually, like, programming the system, I think you can talk about that.
Yeah, so I think this is something where I don't think we're necessarily firm on yet, but we'll need to get you a firm answer. But I think the idea is that, so let's say you've got a section has 10 sessions, and you get 8 of them done in one report period and then 2 of them done in the next, then I think you would report just what happened in that report period. So you would perhaps have, it might be ninth grade health part 1, and then for the next report period, ninth grade health part 2, where you just report just on the 8 in one report period and the 2 in the next. But as I said, that's more of a in-pencil response, so we'll get back to you with a firm answer on that.
Okay, thank you, Matt. At this time, operator, I'd like to open the line for any questions.
Thank you. Again, at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your touchtone phone. Your questions will be taken in the order that they are received. Again, that is star 1. Again, you may press star 1 if you do have any questions. One moment, please. Sandy, you may ask your question.
Thank you. I just want to confirm with Matt. So if we have a project that's got, of course, hundreds of sections, we can't do the batch upload. This is different than last time in that we have to enter each section by itself manually, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's it. Thanks.
And hi, Sandy.
Hi, Matt. I just wanted to be clear. Thank you.
Sure.
And we do show one more question. Stan Martin, you may go ahead.
Yes, hello, Matt.
Hello.
Thank you for the presentation. I was just wondering, is it possible for the system to self-populate in multiple areas so that we ourselves as a grantee or if we have an independent evaluator, we aren't going back and forth in between screens and entering the data?
So we would, you know, welcome any thoughts you might have as to how that could practically work. We are doing some self-populating for you in terms of, so at the program model level, so when you choose, for example, if making a difference is the program in hand, and then you create, you know, a section here for it, then that information ends up carrying over into the section data. So these things get populated for you. I don't think the other items are candidates for self-population because it's so dependent on the specific section. The only thing that's possibly a candidate is the that I can think of course, I might be missing things, but is the sessions planned, which you indicated earlier on. You indicate the ideal number of sessions, but that even can be variable. So I guess what I'd say is that you know, we're welcome to hear, and you can pass along any ideas that you might have, you know, through the help desk. We're welcome to entertain those.
Thank you.
Sure.
And once again, if you do have any questions, you may press star 1 on your touchtone phones. At this time, I'm showing no further questions.
Okay, thank you. So if there are additional questions that you think about later, if they relate to the website and or the spreadsheet, please contact the TPP Performance Measures Help Desk email. If there are additional questions about the measures, you can email me. My email address is tara.rice@hhs.gov, or you can send them to your project officer, who will be happy to forward them to me for you on your behalf. So again, thank you all very much for participating. This webinar has been recorded, so the recording will be available on the TPP Performance Measure System in a few days. So thank you very much, and I hope you all have a great day. Goodbye.
And thank you for your participation in today's conference call. The call has concluded. Thank you.